all the clothes you bought her in the last few months, she's very
happy. Okay, gentlemen, we continue in the Rambam, Hilchas Shvisas Asor, the laws of Yom Kippur, Perek Beis Halacha Ches, chapter 2, law 8. We've been discussing the prohibition of eating and how much you have to eat to transgress, what kind of foods to eat, what kind of combinations of food to eat. Now we're going to deal with when it is permitted to eat when we're dealing with a sick person. A sick person whose life is in danger and therefore must eat. Okay. If you don't give him enough food, he could even get worse. And more than this, he's asking to eat on Yom Kippur. He wants to eat. Even though the expert doctors in these areas, they say, ain't it tzarich, he doesn't have to eat. The sick man says, I gotta eat. The doctor says, no, you don't have to eat. Halacha is, we feed him. Because the pasuk says, you have to follow all the mitzvahs that a person should live and not die by them. And we feed him al pi atzmo, based on his, what he wants. Ad shiomer dayi, until he says, I've had enough. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Yannai says, if a sick person says, I need, and the doctor says, you don't need, we listen to the sick person. Why? Gemara quotes a statement in Proverbs that says, Lev yodea moras nafsho. The heart knows the bitterness of its soul. Meaning a person knows himself best. So even the doctor says, you're absolutely fine, because I gotta eat. So we let him eat until he says, I have enough. Now, according to the Rush, it means we feed him little bits as less than the amount, as we've said, and you wait in between the amount of time to wait so that it wouldn't combine. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. However, interesting, the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, he says that that law only applies eating a little bit by pregnant ladies who the lives can be in danger. The children, we give little quantities, but a sick person, you give them normally without any limitations at all. So there's difference of opinions, and again, you'd have to consult with a rabbi and a doctor. In other words, this general idea of giving small quantities is good, like for a pregnant lady and things like that. He said a real sick person, you'll feed him what he needs. He doesn't, not even give him in small quantities. So there's a machlok in that area, and it depends how sick the person is. The person is definitely a very sick person, fragile old person, and fasting is just out of the question. Then he could eat normally, and we paskin he could eat normally. Then, now, for those that are like a pregnant lady, things like that, they're not really essentially sick, but they're really not feeling well. There's a possibility, God forbid, of a miscarriage or something like that, or a nursing mother where there may not be milk for the child, whatever. So then there's room for leniency. A person really doesn't feel well, normally is healthy, but really doesn't feel well. So again, we'll see that's where we try to give the small quantities. But a legitimately really sick person, who really it's not healthy for them to fast at all, then we would not be going with the small quantities, and they would eat regularly what they would have to eat. So again, it's a judgment call, and you have to be very careful how you apply that judgment. You have to consult with a doctor. We'd like them to eat not the regular quantity, but sometimes it's just not possible for very unhealthy people.
I'm unclear about the role of the doctor. Does the doctor
establish? Doctor will tell you what he feels. A lot of times the sick person doesn't, well, we're not finished. Sick person doesn't know himself a lot of times. We're speaking here a case where the sick person says, I gotta eat. But it doesn't always work that way. And a lot of times people ask Shilas, they just want to do what's right. And they don't insist on eating. What do you do when a diabetic calls you up before Yom Kippur and says, what should I do? Right? You have to be very careful that the insulin levels are okay. So, you know, that's not such a simple thing. They'd be happy to fast. They don't even think that they're hungry.
Right.
And then they can just, God forbid,
the body doesn't
lose consciousness. So you can't play games over here. So you got to talk to the doctors and know, okay, what kind of diabetes do they have? What do they really need? Can we get by with giving less? Do we have to give more? So yeah, there has to be, you know, lots of consultation in these areas. Anyway, that's the general idea over here. So that was case number one. Okay, so we give him as much as he needs. until he says enough. Now, next situation. Omer Achayla, the sick man says, Eini tzorach, I don't have to eat. But Reif Omer tzorach, no, the doctor says, you gotta eat. Machilin also al piv. We feed him based on what the doctor says. Why? Because maybe the sick person's scared and doesn't really feel his sickness as much as it is because he's so weak. Sometimes you're so weak, you can't even feel it. And therefore, we wouldn't, and even sometimes, even if the sick person himself is a good doctor, won't listen to him, because when you don't feel well, your self-analysis may not be correct. On the other hand, if he feels I have to eat it, so there's certain rules. If the sick person says I really gotta eat, then we really give it to him. The sick person says, well, I don't think I need to eat, but the doctor says you got to eat, then we give it to him. Okay, guys, is it possible maybe you go in the other room? Larry. Can you maybe go in the other room? Can you go in the other room maybe so we don't disturb each other? Because we're disturbing each other. Okay? So that's number two. So you listen to the doctor. V'hushiev rofe baki, but it has to be an expert doctor. Now, rofe yechod omer tzorich. Let's say one doctor says he has to eat. V'echod omer ein tzorich. And another doctor says he doesn't have to eat, so splits down the middle. Machilin, so we give him, because suffek here, we go on air on the side of caution to make sure the guy should live. What about mitzvah rofe omer ein tzorich? Mitzvah omer ein tzorich. Let's say there's a lot of doctors involved here. And some doctor says he needs to eat. Some doctor says he doesn't need.
You can't get too many opinions.
Well, it's a Jewish shul, so there's going to be a lot of doctors there. Okay, nachar rov, you go after the majority. Oh, achar v'kim, or go after the experts. But that only applies to avad shelo yomer chol tzorach. That's only if the sick person doesn't say I need. But if he says I need, even though the majority says you don't need, machilin also, we give him. Okay? Because whenever a guy says I need, the Gemara says even if 100 say he doesn't need, we don't listen to the 100.
That's what I was getting at before. Would the doctor have to say he's sick, and then the disagreement is just do you eat or not?
I mean, obviously if the guy's healthy, he wouldn't have to eat, right? Obviously he's not feeling well. There's no question about the guy's not feeling well. A healthy guy wouldn't even have a discussion. There's something wrong. Maybe he's dizzy. Maybe he's this. Whatever it is. So the doctor's saying he should eat. So then we have to, then we have to take into consideration.
No, I think the question's the other way around. The doctor doesn't think he needs to eat, but he says he needs to eat, but he really isn't all that sick.
Well, again, if a person knows himself better than what a doctor would.
What I'm saying is,
a lot of times doctors think it's okay. The guy says, I really have to eat. I know myself. I have to eat. So we do give a certain credibility to the sick patient himself.
But most of us don't.
Even
really
if he might be wrong, we can't make a mistake. You make this mistake once, you'll never make it again with that guy.
What's the threshold that he's deemed to?
Listen, we understand Jews by nature would never want to eat on Yom Kippur. Okay, let's try to understand. And usually what normally happens...
It's the other way around.
Normally happens, the doctor says you have to eat, and he says, I have no way, I haven't been eating for 80 years, and I ain't eating right, today, right. Even if I die. Right? So if a Jew is saying he has to eat already, then he must really be afraid of his life.
Didn't you tell us the story, was it the rabbi in Atlanta?
Yes, no, Rabbi Leff.
Oh, yeah.
Rabbi Leff in Florida.
That he'd never give.
Where there was an elderly man, and he should have eaten on Yom Kippur. He didn't want to eat. So Rabbi Leff, I believe the story goes, he said, well, you're not getting an aliyah this year. Because you're a heretic. You're not listening to the will of Hashem. You're not following the halacha. I can't let a heretic get the aliyah. But I remember all the details. So he finally agreed that he would eat. So I think that's important. Most Jews, we're talking about serious Jews. Right. There's no way anyone's going to eat on Yom Kippur. No way. And if a Jew says he has to eat, that means he must really feel it's really bad. And even if he's mistaken, it doesn't matter, because we can't make that mistake. You can say, well, really, 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 he was supposed to not eat. Well, we just can't take those risks. Yeah.
What do you do with a person who's psychologically impaired? Let's say suffering dementia, or
his
free will is somewhat compromised.
So then he's putter from mitzvahs. He doesn't have to keep any mitzvahs to begin with, so he can do whatever he wants.
A person who, let's just say, dementia.
He can do whatever he wants.
Really.
For him, he doesn't even understand Yom Kippur. He says, whatever he wants, regular days, you just feed him a regular meal. You're going to tell him it's Yom Kippur, he's probably going to get angry because he's screaming and yelling, where's my breakfast? anything, I think that would be the worst scenario. So he's putter from mitzvahs. Once you're not, you're called halachically not competent, you're free from all mitzvahs. Final case. Lo omer achola shehu tzarich. The sick person didn't say he needs. V'nechlika arofim. The doctors are arguing. V'hayu kumbikim. They're all experts. V'elu shomer ein tzarich, kaminin shomer tzarich. And it's a tie. So we got experts.
You need an odd number.
Right? And it's a tie.
Boil the eggs.
Machilin also. You feed him. That's the rule. Tie goes to the
runner,
to the eater. We give him what to eat. So that's that halacha. Test. Now, ubara sheiricha. Let's say a pregnant lady who has really got a good whiff of some real yummy food. Okay? Now, that's a very dangerous thing for pregnant women to be in that state. They have cravings. Imagine they walk right by, on the way to, you know, by a Trafe bakery, man. You get that whiff and it's just going, man, I gotta eat something, right? And it comes to a point where a woman's life could be in danger. If she, a pregnant lady with cravings, we're very particular to give them your cravings.
Really?
Saying, yeah.
Life is in danger from that?
Yeah, you know.
Life?
It's called nerves.
The husband's life.
I gotta eat, you know? Anyway, so and she wants to eat. So what do we do? So first step is loy chashin lo ba'ozna. We whisper in her ear and say, "Dear, Shom Kippur." You might have forgotten it's Yom Kippur. So once we tell it's Yom Kippur, you know, she said, "Oh, okay, good work." Im niskara daita, if she calms down because she hears it's Yom Kippur, bezichron zeh by reminding her the mutav good. So we're fine. She doesn't have to eat. But she's saying, "I don't care what it is. I'm going to die if I don't have any." Machilin also, you give her to eat until her soul is revived. Here's for sure we're saying give her small quantities until she will be fine. Now, this is another case which I think we need doctors to explain this case better than I can explain it.
Don't combine.
Someone who's been overcome by a bulmos attack. A bulmos, which the commentators say it's a hunger sickness, and there's certain physical signs. The eyes are weak. He can't see. He has trouble seeing. Right? He has some kind of, I don't know exactly what a hunger attack is, but it's like
could be has low blood sugar. Maybe
something like that. What affects their vision? Okay, so maybe low sugar, right? So the English says here, a sense of infirmity that overcomes a person because of a lack of nourishment. He becomes dizzy, faint, and unable to focus his eyes. Alright, so I guess there's certain sicknesses like that. So that's dangerous. So machilin also, you feed him at shiur enough till his eyes are more clear. I feel nevelos, you shkotzi machilin also miyad, even if there's no kosher food around, but you happen to have a Burger King is next door. So right away, you can even feel nevelos, meat that wasn't shechted properly, or creepy crawling things. Immediately you feed him. Obviously, you feed him the least avera food possible until his vision comes back. And if not, even give him the more severely unkosher food. But the ain machine also. But you don't wait and delay at shemotzud vermil term. Okay, I'll wait to find some kosher food. I'll have to go all the way back home. It'll take a half an hour. I'll be back with a nice kosher piece of cake. No. There's a Burger King right next door, you know. So, you know, if God forbid, let's say we were diving in here in Yom Kippur, we'd go right down to the Bagel King would be closed in Yom Kippur, I think, right? We'd go to the sub, we'd go to the subway place. Well, you probably first would go to to the coffee shop.
That's whole King Starbucks.
You go to the Starbucks. It's less safe, right?
Get a kosher candy bar,
right? Okay, good. You're right. Maybe you have to go to the convenience and get a kosher. Anyway, but I'm just saying that would be the way we go.
That's what they used to do with diabetics.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before insulin, okay. Yeah. People used to just run in and get a candy bar, and no one would ask questions because they knew diabetics would need that sugar rush, and they wouldn't even ask to pay. They'd just say, "You need to," because I mean, before the insulin, I think that was the only way you could pump up the blood sugar.
Really? Okay. Good.
Robert, just one question there.
Yeah.
From this, you should see how obvious it is that people who were in the Holocaust, that there's no question they should have eaten whatever was available to them, right? Why were there stories that the people didn't?
You know what? As you say, they had nothing to lose. The only thing they could lose was their Yiddishkeit. You have to understand, psychologically, the Nazis took everything away from them. Everything they took away from them. Right? So the only thing they can't take away from them is their resolve to identify as a Jew. And the only way they could is by not eating. At least that was one mitzvah you couldn't take away. Talis and Tefillin they took away from them. Everything they took away from them. So they can't take away from him fasting on Yom Kippur.
They tried to.
Yeah, but you can, you know, get rid of the evidence, whatever you can. But you're right. Halachically, it would be wrong. But you can't judge a person under that situation. A person saying, "Listen," and it could be if they wouldn't fast, they would probably die. You understand what I'm saying? They'd have no will to live. The key to life in the Holocaust, as many write, is the will to live.
Right.
So if they stripped away from every mitzvah, and now even Yom Kippur fasting is stripped away, then the guy's going to say, what do I have to live for? Now, okay, you know, you have to realize what kind of psychological trauma they're under, and you can't discuss this logically. It's not a case of logic. What do you mean? The Torah says you have to eat. You know, it's not logical. You're at the point where you're beyond logic. So therefore, you can't criticize, and it could very well have been the fact that they fasted kept them alive more than had they not fasted. So that's why we can't judge those situations. Yud. Katon ben teish hashanim, a child who is 9 years old and is healthy. Okay? Healthy 9-year-old. Uben eser shanim, or a healthy 10-year-old if he's, let's say, a little bit weak. So, mechanchen eser lashos, we train them to fast hours. Ketzad, what do we mean? Let's say the 9-year-old normally eats 2 hours into the day. Right? 2 light hours into the day. So machinos olashos, we feed him in the 3rd hour of the day. And similarly it is with the other laws of washing and anointing and things like that. We slowly get them into that mindset. Hayrugal v'shalosh, he normally eat breakfast after the 3rd hour of the day. So machinos olashos, we feed him in the 4th hour of the day. It's all depending on what? Depending on the strength of the child. We increase the hours. So therefore, ben achas esrei shana, if you're 11 years old, ben zoch or ben nekev, regardless if you're male or a female, Rama says, misana, they fast, umashlim, and they finish off, sovereign rabbinically. Kedei lechan chob mitzvahs, to train them in mitzvahs. That's the Rambam's position.
Is it male or female? Because you're only 1 year away if you're a female.
Yeah, yeah. There's no difference, in other words.
Yeah.
Even though you might have thought there's a difference, there's no difference. Now the Ravid says, no, that finishing the fast, it depends all on the ability and the strength of the child, the boy according to his age, and the girl according to her age. Alright, so that's a critical argument over there. And Ravid says, you know, males and females, they can reach maturity at different ages. So you have to figure, you know, how that fits in as well. And it could be a male not until 12 and a female at 11, maybe would finish. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, and the way we've read it, the Ramah mentions a third opinion that doesn't require children to complete the fast at all. And he says, if the constitution's weak, the child certainly should follow this idea. So we pass on halacha, children under bat mitzvah need not fast, even the year before need not fast, but certainly we should encourage them to train to fast, each child according to the level that he is required to train.
Go as far as they can, basically.
Yeah, and certainly not if they're not feeling well, without doubt, they should be eating. Right. You know, it depends. I remember I had Menachem, believe it or not, he's now 10. 2 years ago, he fasted the whole day in Kippur, and I told him not, but he didn't listen to me. But then when he finished the fast, what did they do? I was busy. I didn't say anything. So they ran to convenient and bought a Slurpee. He had a Slurpee on his stomach, and he vomited afterwards. Last year, I can't remember, I think he fasted a little bit, he didn't take a Slurpee. I'm just saying, you know.
Honey cake is better.
Certainly. Really, water is the best after a fast. I'm just saying, and we're going to see in the next halacha as well. So certainly, they don't have to fast. We should want to train them, and slowly. So when the kid's 9 years old, they can fast till lunchtime.
The opposite, a kid has a weak constitution, and he's now 13, and he doesn't
again, then he's a chayla. Like if he's that weak, like, he's like a chayla. Well,
there's no difference between a 13-year-old.
It depends. It depends. Once you're bar mitzvah, you have to fast. You're not going to feel well. Too bad. Now, the question is, how bad you feel? So, general halacha is: let's say you have a weak constitution. It's better to sleep in bed all day. Is the only difference usually, and don't go to shul. Be in an air-conditioned room where it's comfortable. Sleep a lot and don't fast and don't break your fast. A weak person can get through without those. That's why I say often when women are pregnant or things like that, and they got kids, and I tell the husband, you're going to have to take over and help out, get a nanny or something, and make sure she rests a lot. Resting does help a lot. If you can sleep a lot, then you're able to fast. I remember when I was in yeshiva, probably 35 years ago, my roommate was on Yom Kippur. He really was not well. Like he must have been, let's see, I was 18, and he must have been 16, he was much younger. And he was a skinny guy. He was really not well, like really not well. And he was in the dorm, and we asked the Rosh Yeshiva, can feed. Rosh Yeshiva just, he said, stay in bed, sleep till he can make it, and only if he. And thank God he fell asleep, and then he woke up after the trip was over, and then he was able to eat. So you really try to fast. The fact that you have headaches and all these other things, like, too bad. That's
part of the deal.
That's part of the deal. Now again, when it gets to a point where the person now is going to get is dizzy and these things, and you know, could be vomiting, you know, that's when you need to consult with the doctor to know, is he at this point where a lot of times people don't even know they can have what diabetes. Some don't realize that it can just for the usually it's the first time you find out. That's when you know you have it, right? Could be for years they didn't even know they had it, and then all of a sudden. So we can't play games, even though you don't think you have a history of diabetes. And when you get older, sometimes that can develop. Right, sometimes during pregnancies they can develop, and this is, remember before, now they give ladies a test every muntik and donishtik when they're pregnant. It's like a million tests. It used to not be that way. So a pregnant lady says, I'm hungry, you know, everyone says, you're fine, you figure it out. Could be she's developing a diabetes right then and there. She could die. So we can't play games over here. But on the other hand, if it's a normally otherwise healthy person, we would say, try to stick it out as much as possible. If the person, mom, says, hey, I feel like I'm going to faint, I'm going to this and that. Then,
but I guess the rabbi's point is, there's no difference between a 13-year-old and a 23-year-old.
That's right. Once you're 13, you're chayav. So we will treat you like any adult, and we would have to decide if you really are not well, you know, then we would have to deal with it whatever way possible.
A 13-year-old doesn't have the discipline of a 23-year-old. They're not the same.
So fine. If it's just a question of discipline, they'll suffer. So you suffer. That's how you get to be disciplined.
So for a man, the fasting overrides like even the obligation to daven? Like not even in a minyan, but even...
Correct.
So just stay in that...
Listen, it's not that much to daven. A lot of it is repetition. Let's be honest. You can daven musaf, and mincha shmonesri does not take that long. You do a mincha shmonesri 10 minutes. And ni'ilah can also be 10 minutes. It's not, you know, you can sleep the rest of the time. You're missing repetition. You're missing a lot of the exciting... emotional stuff, right? Because you miss it. But you have to fast. Let's put it this way. We've done four mitzvahs. The Rambam does it four mitzvahs, right? And if you violate it, it's kares. What happens if you don't daven?
You don't get credit for it.
Well, it's maybe a rabbinic. The worst is you violate a rabbinic.
And you don't get credit for it.
Yeah, if you daven once a day, you fulfill the biblical obligation according to everybody. So now there's a rabbinic way how to daven on Yom Kippur. Okay, so you didn't fulfill the rabbinic way how to daven on Yom Kippur, but to go through a kares, just so you could daven? On a regular fast day that's not a Yom Kippur, a Tisha B'Av, we'd say, if you're really not well, that kind of person, better you should eat and better do tshuva. But here, Yom Kippur, as we'll explain on Yom Kippur afternoon, you know, there is a serious inyan to not eat. Very serious inyan to not eat. And we really don't want to be lenient unless we're very concerned for their health.
Did you say there's four mitzvahs that come from fasting?
No, there's four mitzvahs on Yom Kippur, and they're none of them have to do with davening.
What are the four mitzvahs?
You can't work, you have to rest, you can't eat, and you have to fast. Right? You can't... No, but those are four, right? We went through that. Those are byproducts of that, right? No, you have to fast, and you can't drink and eat. The others are rabbinic. There's a rabbinic. But there's no such thing. So you didn't daven on Yom Kippur. If you don't daven on Yom Kippur, you're not going to get caries. Nothing's going to happen to you. I mean, nothing serious. He didn't daven. He didn't daven. So, okay,
no,
I'm saying you don't get caries for not davening. It's the worst, if you were healthy, maybe rabbinic lashes, maybe. But it doesn't come close to caries. Caries is very serious stuff. All right, you know. Vashtei Mesrei Shana, a girl who's 12 years old, v'yomechad, in one day, that means completely bat mitzvah. And Uben, and a boy who shlosh Mesrei Shana v'yomechad, who's 13 years in one day, Shevi Ushtesaras, they've brought two pubic hairs. And that is very important because that is makes it for sure that they are an adult. Right? Harehem kigedorim l'chol ha-mitzvahs. They're absolutely like a gadol, an adult, u'mashlim in a Torah, and biblically they have to finish the fast. In other words, that this is part of the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. And it's interesting, the commentators bring, where do you have any biblical source that 13 is the age of bar mitzvah? Isn't that interesting? That's one of the most famous laws. 13 year bar mitzvah,
everyone knows,
right?
The goyim knows.
Everyone knows that? Is that, where's Tongues on the Torah? You know, it'd be a great question to ask a conservative and reformed Jew. They say, well, you know, you don't have to listen to what the rabbi says. You say, fine. So why do you celebrate at 13? What do you mean? Everybody does. Where? Where does it say? That would really, you tongue-tie them pretty good, eh? He said, well, we just always did it. So good. What's the source? So we find the source is by Shimon and Levi. It says, Vayikhu Shimon Levi, Ish Charbo. Each man took his sword. And the Medrash says that they were 13 years at that time. And when someone's called an Ish, that means they're chayiv in mitzvahs. So they were 13, they were called Ish, and that's what Torah's teaching is. So that was the first bar mitzvah drush that was ever given when they killed out Shechem. It was on their bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah drush.
We don't have time to get into that now. But they were 13. If you figure it out, Shimon Levi, this all happened on the way back. On the way back, Yaakov was on the way back, right? He was by Laban for 20 years. He was there 7 years, then the kids started to get born. Right. He was there 13 more years, and then on the way was another 2 years. So it's around 13.
They counted again. But
Shimon and Levi were 13.
So, both the same age exactly?
No, but one of the, they were both 13. One was 13, one was more. But we're just saying that's the source. That's the source. And since girls are smarter, we know that they mature a year early, so it becomes 12. So anyway, so they have to do this biblically. That's when they, but they have to bring two hairs. But they don't bring two hairs. A dying ketanimim, they're still considered minors. Biblically. Biblically. So 13 is not enough. You have to have hairs as well. Ve'enem ashlimim. But they do have to finish the fast, but elamidivrei sofrim only rabbinically now, and not biblically, because you don't have all the criteria to require that they have to do it. Okay, katan shupachos ben teisha. What if a child who's less than 9? Ein ma'anin also, we don't afflict him at all by Yom Kippur. Why? Kidei shelo yavo le'sakana, so he shouldn't come to any danger. You can't even train him in hours. And even if he wants to be machmer, you should protest. So when Menachem wanted to do it, I protested, but he didn't listen.
Danger of vomiting is therapy.
So, you know, I mean, I kept an eye on him, and at the end of the day, he was good. I mean, he really did fast well, but I just didn't keep an eye on him when he went to the Slurpee. That was the problem. yeah. Okay. So. We've gone a half an hour already, right? All right, you want to just do another halacha or two? We're going to have to finish it tomorrow. I can't. There's 10 halachas to go. We'll do one more night. All right, let's do another. Okay, let's just stop. It's a good place to stop, and we'll just finish it tomorrow. We're not going to do Gemara tomorrow, so then we'll just finish it tomorrow right after Marv. So Nelson, you get one more night at the deal. Okay? Go ahead, guys.
We should do extra this week and then the other.